I mean, it hadn't changed, only gotten better. I believe it ought to get mellow. I believe it ought to get sweeter. I believe it ought to get better every night. And that's what God wants to do, and I believe He will, and I appreciate the blessings of the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bible, if you have your Bible, to 2 Peter and chapter 1. While you're turning, let me say a couple of things. Brother Ralph Sexton's going to preach after I finish, and I'll say a word about that in just a moment. I've persuaded him to preach on something that I believe that one of the greatest sermons I've ever heard in my life. And he's going to preach on that right after I finish, so I'll not take too much time, but I ask him to preach on the knowledge of God. And if you have never heard the knowledge of God, then you're in for one of the greatest treats that you've ever been in. I remember I was over at Brother Raff's church, and he said to me, he said, Brother Mace, I can't throw that flagpole. We was over in the Jubilee, and it got right one night. I mean, it got right. You talk about it getting right. And Raff was preaching, and he jumped up and threw me the flagpole. And I mean, we was having a time around that.
Amen.
And I went and tried to find him. He was way up under the choir, and I said, what do you want me to do? He said, call a recess and let's shout 30 more minutes. Hallelujah. So, that's the way it gets on, 30 more
Amen.
Minutes.
Yeah.
I believe Brother God will do something, and if we'd let him, and he wants to do that, and I'm praying that he will. Brother Sammy said 20 years ago, and I'll tell you what Sammy did not say. And I laughed about it, and I told my wife, Sammy heard me preach on Jailhouse Rock. He remembers that, Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah.
But also, in that meeting, I preached on the woman that died doing the twist. And he's never mentioned that. You know who that woman was? Lot's wife. She twisted and turned into a pill of salt. Say amen right there. But Sammy always tell about that. He'll say, I heard old Mays preach on Jailhouse Rock. But he never mentioned that woman, so maybe next time he will. And I love Brother Sammy, and I'm sure that you do. I appreciate the blessings of the Lord, and we're glad for His presence tonight. I have several sermons dealing with the Lordship of Christ and the Lord, and I want to preach on one of them tonight. And from this chapter, I want you to look with me. I'm going to have you to stand in just a few moments for the reading of the Scripture. But before we stand, let me say, Simon Peter was writing to the Christians that were scattered, that were under pressure. Now, I've never seen a time when God's men have been under pressure like they are today. If you're God's man and you're standing in the gap, brother, you're under pressure. I mean, there's all kinds of pressure, all kinds of torment is breaking loose on the men of God. And you say, I'm not having a hard time. You're a compromiser then. Say amen. Now you put that down. Man standing for God, brother, he's going to have to suffer a little bit. I mean, he'll be persecuted, he'll be lied on, and he'll have a hard time. So he's writing. And in this first chapter, he talks about things to add. Oh, I tell you, you ought to get something different every night. Praise God, just add to it. He talks about these virtues. And then he goes over and he said, I want to talk about dying. I want to talk about when I die. Boy, that's a blessing to think about when you die. I mean, it's gain. That's what Paul said. You say, preacher, I'm afraid to die. If you're saved, you oughtn't to be afraid to die. Oh, I'm glad. And Simon Peter said, I want to tell you, I'm going to die, and I want you to remember something. I want you to remember something after I'm dead. And if you have that, keep that in mind. And I want you to look with me at verse 15 of the first chapter of 2 Peter, and we'll stand for the reading of the Scripture, please. Will you stand all over the house with me? Let's read the Scripture. As I read the Scripture, note with me, please. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. And notice what he said. He said, after I die, I want you to remember some things. And beloved, wouldn't it be wonderful after we leave this world that people could say, I'll tell you, I remember old Sammy Allen. I remember old Mace Jackson. I remember those fellows that carried the torch and preached the word. I remember that little preacher out there in the forks where nobody ever heard of. But brother, he's faithful to the word of God. We ought to leave some memories for people to think about after we're gone. Simon Peter said, I want you to remember after my decease. Now he said, for we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. I want you to see what it said. Honor and glory. When there was such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, let me stop there. I know you're not supposed to stop there at the colon. Let me stop there just a minute. Let me tell you something. Well, I'm glad I got this book now with all that's happening today.
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't it be good if Mr. Begin and Mr. Carter and Mr. Sadat would go to the book? Why, they wouldn't be in such a tailspin if they'd go to the book. I mean, they wouldn't be so confused. But I'll tell you something else. Brother, some of our churches that go to the book and know that what God says is so, we wouldn't be in a bad shape there. Say amen. We wouldn't be. But he said, I want you to see something. We have a light that shineth in a dark place. Now notice verse 20. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Did you know tonight, as you look down, hold this book in your hand, holy men of old, as the Holy Ghost moved upon them, wrote this book, and this is not your word, my word, it's God's word. And this word shall abide forever. But I want you to notice something, then we're going to be seated. Verse 17 again, please. He's talking, Simon Peter, about God the Father. And he said, for he, talking about the Lord, received from God the Father honor and glory. He said, I want you to know that Jesus Christ received honor and glory. Now, I want you to be seated, beloved, all over the house, if you will. I want you to bow for just a word of prayer. And in just a moment, I'm going to bring you the message tonight as the Lord will speak to our hearts. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you pray? Would you ask the Holy Ghost to speak to you? I tell you, if God speaks tonight, it'll be a wonderful experience here to begin the camp. Father, we thank you tonight. Oh, what a blessing it is to come into thy house and to worship in spirit and in truth. And our Father, we thank thee for this camp. We thank thee for our brother Sammy that's been faithful down through the years. I pray that you'll continue to bless him. Oh God, may this camp grow and multiply. I pray that the world might see that there's something going on over here on these sacred grounds. I pray that you'd bless the reading and the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Not only tonight, but in the morning, tomorrow night. I pray, our Father, that every service may be saturated with the power of the Spirit of God. And may we sit in heavenly places. May we be moved by thy Spirit tonight. We know except the Spirit of God moves, the service would be in vain. So I pray that tonight you'll have your way. Bless Brother Sexton as he'll come with that great message. And now, Father, I pray you'll speak to our hearts. And we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak to you tonight on Let's Behold His Glory. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the glory. I've always been with the glory crowd. I've always pushed the glory and been glad when it would come. Oh, you say, preacher, I'm scared of the glory. Why be afraid of the splendor and the majesty of the Lord? Simon Peter said, I want to tell you something. He said, I remember when I was out there on that mountain with him. I handled him. I got close to the glory. He said, it's not a fable, but he said, I know the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing this was as a testimony. I'm glad a few times I've been in the glory. And I want to tell you, it's just like heaven. When you get in the glory, praise God, you'll not worry about income tax. When you get in the glory, you'll not worry about tomorrow. When you get in the glory, praise God, you'll not be disturbed about the things of this world. But the glory, it's a blessed experience. Well, I want you to see what Simon said. He said, first, he said, I want you to remember something after I'm dead. He said, when you pass by where I'm buried, or you pass by my casket, he said, remember something. You say, preacher, what did he say? Well, let me give you three things he didn't say. He didn't say, remember that I was the preacher that preached on the day of Pentecost and over 3,000 were saved. He didn't say, I was the man that even walked on the water. I don't know if anybody walking on water, but I want you to know, Simon Peter said, I don't want you to remember that. He said, I don't want you to remember that I was the man that walked out of that prison when they killed James and is going to kill me the next day. Oh, he said, the gates opened up, but he said, I'll tell you what I want you to remember. Remember that one day he took me on the holy mount. One day, thank God, I beheld his glory. And what a blessing it is tonight to behold his glory. I'm glad when you're down and when you're depressed and when you're defeated and when the deacon's wrong against you, God will slip you out somewhere and let you peep over and get a glimpse of the glory of God. And brother, for glory, it's a wonderful thing just to behold his glory. Let me say something. Usually his glory appears, I mean, when you're tired. I mean, when everything looks like it's turned against you. Old Moses had been upon the mount, and the Bible says he came down. And when he came down, they were naked, and they were dancing, and they were worshiping the golden calf. And Moses was disturbed, and he cried, who's on the Lord's side? It's time, preachers, brother, preach who's on the Lord's side in this day in which we live. If you're on God's side, you ought to stand up and be counted. But you say, preacher, what happened? He got discouraged. And in the next chapter, you know what he said? He said, show me thy glory. Oh, he said, I'm so tired. I've seen all this sin. And he said, I'd like to get a peek of the glory. And God said, come on the mountain. I'm going to let you stand by me on that mountain. You're going to stand on the rock. I'm going to pass by. And when I pass by, I'm going to show you a little bit of glory. And brother, the Lord passed by. And he put his hand over Moses' eyes. And he said, Moses, you can't look on my face. He said, look at my back. And as God passed by, old Moses, look at the back of God. I'll tell you, Mr. God gave him a glimpse of his glory after that awful experience. And then we look in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when after old Solomon had worked and toiled to build the most magnificent building, I can see him weary and well-doing. And I can see him going in that temple. He said, I'm going to pray the dedicatorial prayer. And God, if you will, just let us see a little glory. And the Bible said when Solomon prayed that the house was filled with the glory of God. I want to tell you something, mister. You talk about Shekinah glory. It was so strong in that house until the people, they couldn't go in. They'd just stick their head in and pass out and say, the glory of God is so strong in this place. You can't go in, thank God. You say, preacher, listen. And then I can see one other. He went to a casket. He said, well, King, I'll be seeing you. And that year he went to the temple and saw the Lord high and lifted up. And old Isaiah said, woe, it's me. When he cried, woe, it's me. He heard him crying, holy, holy. That scared some Baptist to death right there. Holy, holy, holy. And when he heard them, the seraphims and cherubims were crying, holy, holy. And you know what they said? Said, the whole earth is filled with his glory. And I praise God tonight for the glory. But you say, preacher, where can we find the glory? Where can we see the glory? Let me mention three places that you can't find it. First, you can't find it in a modernistic church. There's no glory there. Those gods and idols and that modernistic crowd that would tear down the scriptures, you'll not see the glory. But here's the second place where you'll not see the glory. You'll not see it in some of these dried and cut dried fundamentalist churches. Bless God, let me tell you something. They follow the letter of the law. But if the power of God were to hit them, I want to tell you something. It'd scare them to death. And they don't want the glory. I like it, glory to God. Woo! I like to be around where God's glory is and where you can get in of the glory of God. What a blessing. I'll tell you a third place you can't find it. You can't find it in this modern, contemporary, hippie-type church either. Say amen. I don't believe God's going to put his glory on a bunch of long-haired, whiskered guys in the house of God. I believe God's going to put his glory
in some of these places, brother. That's all, listen. It's patterned the world. It's after the world. But I want to tell you, that man that walks in the holy pulpit and begins to lift Jesus up and the glory begins to fill that place, there's where you'll find the glory. A man that stands. But I want to give you seven places real quickly, and I won't take long, where you can find the glory. First of all, you can find it in a cradle 1,900 years ago. Oh, I'm so glad there's a supernatural baby in that cradle. It's a man for bed. You say, preacher, I'm glad he's born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. No wonder when the heavenly hosts looked down, you know what they said? They said, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. I'm glad, praise God, that heavenly host cried, glory! I'm glad they recognize the glory. Bible said in John 1, it said grace and truth were kissed and made full. And the scripture said the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we beheld his glory. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, it talks about without controversy. Oh, there's no arguing about it. Great is the mystery of godliness, how that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. I want to tell you, when you talk about that child, it's a blessing. Oh, what a blessing, this little child. Now see, he had fingernails, but he was God. He had eyelashes, but he was God. Oh, you say, preacher, I'm glad he came and wrapped himself in a human body. And thank God that he manifested the glory of God in that cradle. A little later, up in Jerusalem, as an old man, he was just. And Simeon said, I tell you what I'd like to do before I die, Father. I'd like to see a little glory. Praise God. They brought him the baby Jesus. And he took that baby Jesus in his hands. And he said, mine eyes have seen the glory of Israel. Woo! Brother! He saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad, my friend, you'll find the glory of the Lord in a cradle or a manger bed. Number two, you'll find the glory of God in a Christian. I remember when I was a little boy, how you see them old saints come in, and boy, they'd pass me, and I was lost. I want to tell you, Brother Mac, I'd say, boy, there's something strange about them. You know what's wrong? They had the glory all over them, bless God. That's why I want to tell you, Brother, they had the glory. I'm glad the Bible says in Psalm 21, verse 5, it says these words, his glory is great in thy salvation. Oh, I remember the night God saved me, I saw more glory than I've ever seen in my life. Woo! You talk about a time. I can take you to 6 inches where God saved me. I was saved in North Carolina State University, room 813 C dormitory. I went back up there a few months ago, or about a year ago now. I knocked on that door. That old dormitory's getting old. And a guy smoking a pipe, he'd be a good deacon somewhere. Say amen right there. Lord God, he's on fire. But you know, I walked in there, and he said, can I help you? I said, yes, sir. Right over there, mister, it's where grace and truth kiss my soul. And God put a pardon on my soul. And Jesus saved me. And right over there, brothers, where the glory first appeared unto me. I'm glad that night, listen to me, about 8:45 on a Friday night, Jesus saved me so good, I've never gotten away. And I saw the great glory of the Lord Jesus. Listen to me. In the Christian, my friend, it's wonderful you can see the glory of God. Boy, that night God saved me. I didn't wait to get a rocket to go out thunder. I cut dinos in the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper. Praise God, I've been out there swinging off of the glory. And what a blessing it was. I never will forget, I went over and called my mother. And, well, make a long story short, she finally answered. And she said, hello? And I said, Mother! That operator said, 80 cents, please. I said, excuse me, ma'am. And boy, I put that money in there. And mother said, Mays, are you sick? I said, no, I'm S-A-V-E-D, saved. You say, what happened? I think she hung up, but I heard her shout 200 miles just the same. You talk about it. Brother, in the Christian, you can see the glory of God manifested. I'm glad you can see that glory. What a blessing it is. Moses went upon the mountain. 34th chapter in the Bible said he came back and he had so much God on him till they had to put a veil over his face and they had to hide the glory that was popping out of his face. Boy, we ought to leave this camp this week with so much God on us and so much glory in us until they have to take us a veil and say we can't stand it. We've got to hide your face. There's so much glory that penetrates from your face. What a blessing that would be. I never had but one little girl ever say anything to me about the glory around me. And she was down in Jamaica, and I told her about the story. But oh, I rejoiced in that. She said, preacher, while you was preaching, I saw the glory of God come upon you. I said, listen, that's the greatest compliment I've ever had. I'd rather have God's glory encircle this little kid brother. And I'm preaching than anything in this world. But mister, you lose the glory, the shine of God on your face. In First Samuel it says, and they wrote Ichabod, the glory of God has departed from Israel. And you'll find a lot of Christians, they used to have the glory. And boy, they don't have it anymore. I'd rather die than lose the glory of God. Woo! You say, Brother Means, where can I see the glory? You can see it in a cradle. You can see it in a Christian. You can see it in the cross. Oh, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. You want me to tell you where you can see the glory? You slip up close to that old cross and hear the dripping of the blood. Woo! Brother, you can see the glory of God in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is. First time I went to Jerusalem many years ago, I took a ladder and put over there at that old skull. Climbed up there, and God said to me, you're not fit to walk on this ground. And you know what I did? I got on my knees. I crawled a few places. I mean, a few paces. I crawled. And then I was there calling Brother Matter. He got killed in the Six-Day War. His name was Solomon. He said, hey, Brother Mays! He said, did you know you're about 6 feet or 10 feet from where the blood came down, I believe. And the Holy Ghost said, you're not fit to crawl on your knees. Get on your stomach. And boy, I got on my stomach. I laid flat down on my stomach. And I went across that old rock on my stomach. And when I got to the place where I thought the blood came down, you'll think it's silly. But I don't think it's silly. I said, Lord, I can't do anything but just kiss the ground where the blood came down. And brother, when I kissed that ground, that place lit up around there. And I beheld the glory of the cross. And while I was down on my knees kissing that ground, I sang two songs my mother used to sing up here in the mountains. She'd sing, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. And then she'd sing, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But brothers, I want you to know you can see the glory. The Bible says it gives you that great experience that the disciples had on the Mount of Transfiguration. But only Luke tells you the glory of it. The disciples are there, Elijah here, Moses over here, and Jesus. And they got to talking. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about the death and the burial and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Luke adds the glory of that old cross. And I'm glad tonight, mister, that I've been to Calvary and I've beheld the glory of the cross. Oh, the man that died was Jesus, and his blood was shed on that cross to redeem us. And you behold the glory of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Yes, sir, at the cross where you first saw the light. I was reading the other day about the centurion. I couldn't figure. I said, Lord, why did he cry out? Why did he cry out, truly, this is the Son of God? Oh, he'd watched many a man die. He'd been there. He gave the command, kill him! But you know what? I came to the conclusion. That old centurion looked up there and he saw something different. God veiled that cross with glory. And brother, he knew that this truly was a different death than he had ever witnessed. He knew this death had glory upon it. My friend, it wasn't defeat. Thank God it was the greatest victory the world has ever known. I want you to know tonight, you say, preacher, where can I see the glory? You can see it at the cross. Number four, you can see it in the church. Somebody said the church is going down. I've got news for you, it's going up. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, where can you see his glory? In the church. Turn over in Revelation 1 and look at him walking in the midst of it. Glory to God in the midst of the seven churches. I'm glad he loved the church and gave himself for the church. And I want you to know, mister, that we can find glory in the church. In Ephesians, that great book, chapter 3, verse 21, it said, unto him glory in the church. Unto him be glory in the church. I'm glad, my friend, every church that's true to God will bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every church that's true to the New Testament will bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing unto him be glory in the church. Now, I don't believe in these meetings outside the church. I don't believe in these coming out there worshiping nature. I don't believe in these meetings that say we'll bypass the church. Because, my friends, I want you to know Jesus didn't bypass it. He's doing business through the church. And his glory will be manifested in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you something. You know why? Because this church is going to marry him. Boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be wonderful. We're the bride. Well, listen, I want you to write down something tonight. You may disagree, but it's all right. Number one, everybody agrees who will be the bridegroom in that wedding. Jesus. Boy, won't that be wonderful when you look over there and the church sees the Son of God as the spotless bridegroom? Oh, it'll be wonderful. But you know who the best man will be? Somebody said, I don't know. Turn to John 3:29. You get home. I believe it'll be John the Baptist. I believe he'll be the best man. You know who'll be the one that the blessed presentation? You know who's going to present that church? Listen, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. Paul said that I may present to him a chaste bride. I believe Paul will present the church. You say, well, do away with that verse of Scripture. It says it just as sure as the nose on your face. I was talking last week. Let me show you something. I was talking last week in the meeting. And here they are tonight. I said to the fellows, I said, did you know the Antichrist will have a bad eye and a bad right arm? He said, no, we didn't. I said, the Bible said the Antichrist will have a bad eye. And every time I see old Dagon, he gets kind of under my skin. It's found in the 11th chapter of the book of Zechariah. Schofield says in verse 15, the beast in its judgment. And if you read down to verse 17, it said, and that beast or that idol shepherd, that Antichrist will have a bad eye and a bad arm. Oh, you say, preacher, I don't believe that kind of stuff. Well, it's right there in the Bible. You read it when you get home, and then let me know if it's not in the Scripture. Let me know if it's not so. I told those preachers, and they're here tonight. And they said, yes, sir, we see it, but we've never seen it before. Well, I many years ago, I saw that wedding. I said, praise God, you talk about glory. Oh, I remember when I got married, the glory. I got married in the first church I ever pastored. And I remember when my bride came down that aisle. But oh, let me tell you something. You talk about glory. You wait till the bride of Jesus comes down that aisle. And praise God, the church, it's going to be wedded to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a wonderful time. I was up here in Chattanooga. From the mission field. She's hid behind, over there behind the piano. And I was up there Get ready to preach. And Brother Orr looked and said, "Before you preach, we want to sing 'Here Comes the Bride.'" I said, "Praise God, I'm going to be in it, so go ahead and sing it." I said, "I'm part of it. Sing it." And boy, they got to singing, "Here Comes the Bride." And over there behind that piano, there's a girl could blow a trumpet better than Harry James. And she's hidden. I couldn't see her. I didn't know she was back there. And when they got to that part of that song, "Pick up your trumpet, Gabriel." Boy, she started blowing that trumpet. I started to run out on Rossville Boulevard, climb the first telephone pole, and holler, "Glory! Thank God. Pick up your trumpet. Here comes the bride." Oh, what a blessing it is. My friend, you'll find glory in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, you'll find glory in his conquering of death. He conquered it. Boys, Paul said, "If that's all the hope we have, that old casket, we're all men most miserable. But because one morning Jesus got up and said, 'I'm he that was dead, but am alive evermore.'" You say, "Brother Mays, where's the glory?" Turn in your Bible to Romans 6 and verse 4. And it said he was raised by the glory of the Father. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. He is raised by the glory of the Father. The tomb is empty now. There's nothing in that tomb. Because Jesus got up that morning, caught death around, and brother squeezed his finger out and walked out and said, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" I'm glad, my friends, we can see the glory in this great picture of Jesus conquering death. And I'm glad he walked out on time. He told old Simon Peter, said, "I'll meet you down there 72 hours. And bless God, he was there, death or no death. He was there, tomb or no tomb, because he conquered death. I remember several years ago, I was in an old, an old 47 Mercury. And my wife went in the preacher's department store and left me and my oldest boy, and he's just a little, he's twisting. And I had a Broadmoor hymnal. Y'all forgive me for having that in there. But I had that old Broadmoor hymnal in there. And, and I'm not a singer. See, I don't carry songbooks around. I know a lot of people, they come to church, carry 9 songbooks. The song leader said, "Brother, would you like to..." I didn't come prepared. But why'd you bring all them songbooks if you didn't come prepared? Amen? Oh, why didn't you bring all those songbooks? Well, let me show you something. Boy, I was sitting there in the car. That little boy of mine, he was a twisting. I said, "Lord, can't you be still?" And a bee flew in that window. It said, "Pshoom," hit that windshield. And that bee said, That old boy of mine said, "Shh." I said, "Go ahead. Bless God, that'll be one thing you'll let go of." And he just, that bee said, He said, I said, "Get him." Well, I want to tell you something. You know what happened? That bee lit on that dash, and I saw his core and his finger about out. So I said, "Praise God, that old Broadmoor hymn book is good for something." And I hit that bee, and when I hit that bee, it knocked his core and his finger out. And I got a hold of his legs, and he still had that, and he still had those wings. And I held him by his legs, and I said, "Son, your daddy got his stinger out. Now you can have him." And he reached over and got that bee. You know that bee didn't sting him. I'm glad 1900 years ago, Jesus, bless God, reached in there in the tomb and got a hold of death and squeezed the stinger out and came out and said, "I got a stinger." Praise God and Lamprey. Wonderful. Wonderful. Let's notice number 6, and I got to hurry tonight. Oh, you can see the glory of God in coming of His great, great second coming of great power. Oh, let me tell you something. He's coming for the rapture, or in the rapture for the bride, the church. And I want to tell you, after 7 years, listen to me. I don't believe, you know, I used to say I was a premillennialist. I don't say that now. I say I'm a pre-trib millennialist. Bless God, I don't believe the church is going in any of the tribulation. I don't believe the church is going into the tribulation. I believe when the tribulation enters, we'll be gone. But I want to tell you something, children. We'll be back. Say amen right there. And we'll rule and reign with Jesus 1,000 years. Glory to God in the land forever. Oh, The Bible says in Luke chapter 21, given all the signs of the second coming, and then it said he'll appear in power and great glory. I want to tell you something, mister. The whole earth will be filled with his glory. The curse will be lifted. And did you know I told him the other day, I said, there'll be watermelons so big, they'll take a pickup truck to carry one home. Say amen right there. And the Bible said snakes won't bother us. And brother, we'll eat off of the fat of the land. You the land. You talk about a time when he comes in power, when he comes in glory. I just told meetings up at Chill Highland Baptist Church many years ago. And there's a fellow in there named Boss, and he had to get in the latter years. He had to give him a little jar, a little of oxygen. And he'd sit back there while I was preaching and wave that old hand. And he'd hold that little jar and breathe, get his oxygen. And one night I was preaching on the cross. And boy, I said, they took Jesus. And they nailed the Son of God to that old Roman cross. And when I said that, old Bass jumped up, ran down there, and hit the communion table and said, Brother Mays, they did it one time, but they'll never do it again. He's coming back the second time. They're going to fall at his feet. And brother, listen to me. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Because he's coming in glory. Thank God. They'll not touch out his beard. They'll not spit on him. Then he'll be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming in glory. Oh, you talk about glory. You haven't seen anything like it. Oh, when the King comes. Now, here's the last thing. We'll see it in his coronation. Oh, I like that. His coronation day. They crowned him one time with thorns. But, brother, all heaven's going to sing one morning. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. We'll see the glory in his coronation when he'll be crowned up in heaven. Mister, that's going to be good. A few years ago, I believe Stinnett went with us. We was in the Holy Land. There's a little fellow from up Chattanooga. He may be here tonight. I don't know. Called Paul O'Neill. And he wrote a song. And this song goes like this. They can't crown Jesus till we all get there. And every time we'd stop over in the Holy Land, I'd say, Paul, sing that song about the great coronation day. And he'd get to sing it in a land far away. There's going to be a coronation day. Oh, and he'd get to singing, and the Holy Ghost would squeeze my heart, and juice would run out my eyes. And I want to tell you something, brother. I could see that great morning when Jesus Christ will be crowned in the coronation, and the glory of all heaven will stand and praise him, because he'll be crowned as the great Son of God, the bridegroom, the King of heaven and earth. I'm glad we'll see that great and wonderful time. Oh, we'll see the glory of God. Let me give you this now, close. And Brother Ralph, I want you to hear that on you never heard anything like that, knowledge of God. Listen. It's 26 years ago now. I was riding home one night. Boy, I had the radio on. Bob Trout, he's dead now. But Bob Trout said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing the most awesome place I've ever stood. He said, you can feel the electricity in the air. Here comes the Queen to be. She's going to kneel in front of the Archbishop of Canterbury. There's that beautiful crown. And he's going to place it on her head. He's going to chant in three languages. And all the Commonwealth of England will know that the Queen has been crowned. And boy, it got silent. Bob Trout said, ladies and gentlemen, we're approaching that magic moment that the whole world is waiting for. He says, the Archbishop raises the crown. The Queen is bowed in under that crown. And he placed it on her head. And you could hear people sigh as they witnessed that great coronation day. Boy, I just reached over and pulled my brakes. I got out of that car, and I said, woo! Thank God! Let me tell you, one morning, Jesus is going to walk out there, and the saints, praise God, are going to gather in coronation and in glory, and Jesus is going to be crowned the King, brother. He will see his glory in the coronation. And he'll be crowned. Oh, what a wonderful thing. We'll see his glory in his coronation. In his coronation. Would you bow for a word of prayer? Father, I thank you. Simon Peter said, after my decease, oh God, he didn't brag about those 3,000 souls that were came to be saved on the day of Pentecost after that great sermon. Lord, he didn't brag about walking on the water. He didn't say, put on my tombstone, I walked on the water. Lord, he didn't say, tell people I walked out of that prison house and the gate opened of its own accord when God sent an angel down. But, oh Lord, we know that Simon Peter said, after my decease, you tell him I was on the mount. You tell him I handled him. You tell him I heard the voice. And I saw the glory of God on the holy mount. Lord, I'm glad tonight we can behold your glory. I'm glad tonight we can feel the glory of God in this tabernacle. And Lord, we rejoice in one day. Thank God we'll be part of that great coronation. Lord, Jesus is not looked upon now by the world except in hatred. Jesus is still despised. And Jesus is left out. And Jesus has been shoved aside. But I'm glad, Lord, you're going to let us, the redeemed, you're going to let us in on the glorious morning of the coronation. When the glory of God will fill all heaven. And praise God, we'll stand in the midst of that glory. And praise Him. And praise Him. And praise Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look this way.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Won't you just stand up and lift up your hands and thank Him for saving you? Getting you out of that horrible pit. Just lift them high as you can get them. Just thank Him. Listen, the Bible said never thank, give thanks. And praise Him for His goodness. Hey, listen, lift them just as high as you can get them. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He's looking down tonight. Hearing His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. We love Him because He first loved us.
Yes.
Behold what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend.
Yes.
For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commandeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise Him for His goodness.
Yes.
Thank God for this message tonight.
Yes.
How many of you appreciate the message on the glory?
Yes.
Praise God. Amen.
Yes.
Thank God for the message. Now I'm going to ask the Sharp family to come sing two or three numbers right before Brother Sexton preaches. Brother Sharp, y'all will come right quick, like, sing two or three numbers. Brother Sexton,
Brother,
you'll come.
Samuel, let me just say one word.
Yes, go ahead, Brother Manning.
Now, many of you have never heard Brother Sexton. And when I tell you that's one of the greatest sermons I've ever heard, I meant it. And you're going to hear a masterpiece, because Ralph is God's man, and he's got a message. I never heard anything like it. I heard him preach it in the Jubilee at Asheville. And it'll be a blessing, so don't anybody leave. I want you to hear that. God bless you.
Amen.
Somebody stand up and testify while the Sharp family's getting ready to sing, if you will.
Guiding me to the portals of glory, leading me through the storms of life, whatever be time.
Blessed Savior, my name, my name. Amen. 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 Am